corporal, she would marry you. But my Melinda coquettes it with every fellow she sees. I lay £50 she makes love to you.
I'll lay £50 that I return it if she does. Looky, Worthy, I'll win her and give her to you afterwards.
If you win her, you shall wear her. Faith, I would not give a fig for the conquest without the credit of the victory.
Captain!
Sergeant Case.
Mr. Worthy. Captain, a word in your ear.
You may speak out, here are none but friends.
You know, sir, that you sent me to comfort the good woman in the straw, Mrs. Molly. My wife, Mr. Worthy.
Oh, very well. I wish you joy, Mr. Kite.
Your worship very well may, for I have got both a wife and a child in half an hour. But, as I was saying, you sent me to comfort Mrs. Molly. My wife, I mean. Mm. But what do you think, sir? She was comforted before I came.
As how?
Why, sir, a footman in a blue livery had brought her 10 guineas to buy her baby clothes.
Who, in the name of wonder, could send them?
Mistress Sylvia.
Sylvia? Generous creature. Impossible.
Here be the guineas. Mistress Sylvia sent word the child should be taken all imaginable care of, and that she intended to stand godmother. The same footman told me that his lady would speak with me. I went, and upon hearing that you would come to town, she gave me 1/2 guinea and ordered me to tell you that Justice Balance, her father, would be glad to see you.
There's a girl for you, Worthy.
Is there anything of woman in this? The common jealousy of her sex, which is nothing but their avarice of pleasure, she despises, and can part with the lover, though she dies for the man.
Come, where's the best wine? For there our quarter.
Horton has a fresh cask of choice Barcelona, which I've reserved for your welcome.
It's away, then. Mr. Kite, tell the lady I shall only refresh a little and wait upon her.
Kite, have you seen the other recruiting captain?
No, sir.
Another recruiting captain? Who is he?
Captain Brazen, my rival for Melinda. And the most unaccountable fellow. But I'll tell you more as we go.
Scene 3, in which Captain Clune's young lady Sylvia, fresh returned from the country, visits her cousin Melinda, and harsh words are spoken on both sides.
I envied you your retreat in the country, Sylvia, for Shrewsbury, methinks, is the most irregular place for living. Here we have smoke, noise, scandal, affectation and pretension. In short, everything to give the spleen and nothing to divert it. And the air is intolerable.
Oh, madam, I have heard the town commended for its air.
But you don't consider, Sylvia, how long I have lived in it. For I can assure you that to a lady the least nice in her constitution, no air can be good above 1/2 a year.
1/2 a year?
Mm. Change of air I take to be the most agreeable of any variety in life. Have not you, Sylvia, found a vast difference in the taste of airs?
Taste air? You might as well tell me I may feed on air. But prithee, my dear Melinda, don't put on such an air to me. Your education and mine were just the same.
Our education, cousin, was the same, but our temperaments had nothing alike. You have the constitution of a horse.
Sure, I can gallop all the morning after the hunting horn and all the evening after a fiddle. In short, I can do everything with my father but drink and shoot. And I'm sure I could do everything my mother could, were I put to the trial.
You're in a fair way of being put to it, for I'm told your Captain Plume has come to town.
Aye, Melinda, he has come. And I'll take care he shan't go without a companion. Even if I have to put on breeches and list myself.
You poor romantic. Have you the vanity to imagine that a young, sprightly officer can confine his thoughts to the little daughter of a country justice?
Sure. What care I for his thoughts? I should not like a man with confined thoughts. It shows a narrowness of soul. Constancy is but a dull, sleepy quality at best. Nor do I think it deserves a place with bravery, knowledge, policy, justice, and some other qualities that are proper to that noble sex.
Oh, my conscience, Sylvia, hadst thou been a man, thou hadst been the greatest rake in Christendom.
I should endeavour to know the world, which a man can never do thoroughly without 50 friendships and as many amours. But now I think on't, how stands your affair with Mr. Worthy?
He's my aversion.
You should not use that honest fellow so inhumanely.
Oh.
He's a gentleman and my Plume's friend. And by all that's sacred, if you don't use him better, I shall expect satisfaction.
Satisfaction? You begin to fancy yourself in breeches in good earnest. But to be plain with you, I like Worthy the worse for being so intimate with your captain, for I take Plume to be a loose, idle, unmannerly coxcomb.
Oh, madam, you never saw him, perhaps, since you were Mr.